Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Strength,
dignity,
respect,
beauty,
self-worth,
safety,
confidence,
choice,
hope. The Beauty Night Society is a registered charity dedicated to helping marginalized women introduce trust, hope, and self-esteem into their lives. This is the
first day of Through its popular makeover program, the Beauty Night Society has touched the lives of thousands and reintroduced a healthy touch to the lives of vulnerable women throughout British Columbia, creating real life makeovers.
Please visit www.beautynight.org for information on programs and on how to help.
Beauty Night, because dignity is beautiful. I think I was blind before I met you.
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I shit.
Breakfast with the Browns.
So whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electro-pop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, brown.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense, and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow across the and we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making it like you. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making.
You know, you can give 100 examples of what it isn't, but you, man, you're going to have a hell of a time saying what it is.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC. Or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Where you think you're going?
To the flea.
What flea?
The Wiseshall flea, sir. It's April 24th.
You know, we got a song for folk like you.
It's the Wiseshall flea. It's the Wiseshall flea. It's the W-I. H-A-L-L flea to the Wiseshall flea before we all die.
Before we lose our lives.
From 11 to 5 on the last Sunday of every month at 1882 Adenac.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, of course, the White Noise Show. That's a half hour of sketch comedy, and followed by the White Noise After Show, which is a mixture of discussion and wicked music, hosted by myself and hosted by special guest Connor Neckleput, who joins me in the studio now. How are you doing, Connor?
Yeah, doing well. Exam season, but this is a cool reprieve.
Yeah. I know how you feel, man. I had one at 8:30 this morning. Then slept. Ooh. Came here, gonna do this, and then work till the 8 in the morning, got another one, and then I'll try not to fall asleep on the way home.
But you know what the most important thing of those two is?
What's that?
Sleeping.
Thanks, Connor. That's great advice at this point in the game. What would I do without you? All right, let's get on with it. I think
write better sketches.
Yeah, let's just get on with it. And oh, let's play a special game tonight, which is guess which sketches Connor wrote tonight.
guess which sketches Simon absolutely manipulated and Frankenstein. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a clue which one it is. All right, so check it out. Here
I'm
we
kidding,
are.
I mix mine better.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
To another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Tony's Tax Services. We do them because you're too stupid to. First up tonight, someone's buying drugs.
Excuse me, sir. Are you holding?
Huh?
Do you have any drugs for sale?
Are you a narc?
No, I'm a Jeb.
You a cop?
No, I'm an orthodontist.
All right. Well, what do you need?
Well, what would you recommend?
Pardon?
You see, I'm buying it as a present for my nephew. His mum, my sister, said that he's into this sort of thing lately.
I don't know, man. I got all sorts.
No, I know he doesn't like licorice. Anything a bit harder.
How about some crack?
No, I don't want to look cheap. Anything else?
How about some pot?
No, I got him that for Christmas.
Maybe some angel dust?
No, he's not a religious person.
Okay, well, maybe some heroin.
Could I have a taster?
No.
Fair enough. I know people can abuse it. You know, the free tasters. Anyway, it's in my price range, and I know he hasn't already got some. But tell you what, I'm going to keep shopping around, and I will probably be back later.
Well, at least take my business card. We work on commission.
I'm always nervous buying drugs, especially my Piles cream. Next up tonight, someone's making life decisions.
Dad, I've been thinking about what I want to do after high school, and I've decided I want to be an accountant.
An accountant? So you never want to say anything interesting ever again?
What?
I mean, come on. It's no woman's dream to shag an accountant.
No, it's an important and noble profession.
Noble? Is there a Nobel Prize for accounting?
That's not how you spell it.
You don't see many accountants on the Queen's New Year's honours list.
Why would I want to be knighted?
Because you're so fucking noble.
Well, what would you have me do?
You could be a rock star.
Do you really think I could?
I've heard you in the shower. You sound like an angel who needs singing lessons, but that shouldn't hold you back.
But I can only play the accordion.
Worked for Weird Al.
But shouldn't I at least have a backup in case?
No! You have to go for it. Put all your energy and effort into it. Just get a serving job on the side. You know, it'll only be temporary.
Yeah, but what about my crippling stage fright?
We'll get you a wheelchair.
Okay, Dad. I'm gonna do it.
Great.
I'm gonna be a rock star. Yeah, I can't believe it. I'm gonna go tell all my friends.
Ned, why does Billy think he's going to be a rock star?
No reason.
Just because you think he ruined your life doesn't mean you have to return the favour.
I could have been a professional ventriloquist. Me and Slappy were going to the top!
Parents can be mean. They can also be a lot nastier, so don't piss them off. Next up tonight is a commercial.
From the most exclusive brand in America, 1% Products. Creators of such fine products as Bébé Point, cologne for babies, the 24-carat golden shower, the Lamborghini, the world's first pasta-based supercar, and of course, the Tom Cruise cruise, the only cruise that feels more like a train wreck. We now bring you the Platinum Vacations, the most prestigious holiday packages in the entire world, all set in our fully operational Platinum Mine. We have over 30 bars, restaurants, and zero natural lighting, so you don't have to worry about the paparazzi or the public finding you, unless they're particularly good at potholing. We offer a wide range of activities, including quad biking, spa treatments, and our most exclusive backbreaking labor. You will have such a good time, you won't even notice that your eyes are going to start to burn. Our chefs are world class. We don't have a Michelin star, but Guy Ferrari gave us a thumbs up. We offer trips for one night, a weekend, or all eternity. So book now before all the mines collapse. Warning, side effects may include swollen self-opinion, long-term sneering, terminal smugness, broken morality, miner's nipple, drunk trophy wife, and platinum poisoning.
My grandfather was a miner, then he came of age. Next up tonight is an interview with country legend Cyril Jarvis.
Good evening, y'all, and welcome to A Little Bit of Country. I'm your host, Tony Gritz, and I'm joined by Cyril Jarvis of Cyril Jarvis and the Black Eyed Sisters. Good evening, Cyril.
Hello, Tony.
I am intrigued by your story, Tony, as you didn't grow up in Nashville, did you?
No, it was Nottingham.
In jolly old England, right?
Yes, I was born Cyril Jarvis, which amazingly works just as well for being British aristocracy as it does for being a country bumpkin.
So how did you get into the honky-tonk?
Well, my grandfather was the product of incest, which again shows a parallel between rich toffs and poor white Americans, so the transition felt natural.
Well, genetics always help, but what about your environment?
Well, my father was an alcoholic, and my mother was briefly a stripper. So, no, that didn't really help at all.
I thought you said you were from the aristocracy.
Well, father was, yes, but mother was from Arbroath. No, my environmental influences were mainly the albums I bought in secret, and that time Dad dropped me on my head.
Ah, yes. I presume that incident was the inspiration for last album's title track, Papa Can't Catch.
No, that song's about Dad's failed pizzeria. But I do discuss it in the track, That Is Why You Have a Little Brother.
One of my favorites. And apparently, people have noticed the lyrics and music sync perfectly with the film Rhinestone Cowboy.
Yes, that's absolutely true. It's arguably the greatest country and western film ever made.
So how did you break into the scene?
Well, I knew I needed to make a rite of passage to be accepted into the tight-knit hillbilly community. They're very, very suspicious people. Some might say racist, but I wouldn't because they buy my albums. So to get my foot in the door, I moved to Texas and I drove a truck while intoxicated off of an interstate so I could write about it.
Ah, yes. Your first single, Achy Breaky Pelvis.
Yes, I spent 4 weeks in hospital, mainly due to the extensive alcohol poisoning. So naturally, my album went platinum.
Amazing. And now you're touring.
That's correct. It's a dual headlining tour with Ted Nugent.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm not really excited about that either.
Will you be playing with a full band?
No, just me and a small child playing a washboard.
I get it. Two-piece bands are very hot right now.
Well, it's just less people for Ted Nugent to offend.
Well, can we expect a new album from you soon?
Maybe. Depends if I can find a suitable bridge to drive off of.
Ted Nugent is basically Donald Trump with a guitar, but those are the ones you have to look out for, the musical racists. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back. Carl, wake up.
No, Mummy, I want to stay at home with you and you, Daddy.
Get up.
What? Oh, Neil. Where's Mum?
Ah, she just left. Gone to Hooters. You know, a shift started an hour ago.
Well, what do you want then?
Time for your training.
Huh? No. Mum had me tested. I'm not doing it again. The government promised me a check.
No. I'm going to train you to be a cage fighter.
Oh, I don't know which one of those words I'm more scared of.
Let's start with some light jogging.
Okay. Where am I running to?
Do my usual route.
What route? I've never seen you run a day in your life.
I meant, you know, to the chippy and back.
Oh, okay.
And I'll have a haddock, chips and a gravy, ta. Right, next. We're going to do kickboxing.
In here?
What?
This is my mum's sex room.
Yeah, but the sponge mats make it sort of like a dojo. I know there's no cage, but we have some chains on the wall.
And Mum's dildos.
No, those are actually mine.
Oh, I thought they looked a bit big.
Anyway, ignore the dildos. Just concentrate on me. Let's do some pad work.
Okay, focusing. Focused, all right, go.
Left jab. Nice. All right, right jab. Cool. Uppercut.
Oh, fucking hell.
Stop fucking my mum!
Maybe you can relax better out here, in the garden.
Sorry about that, Neil. It's just hard sharing a bed with you two.
It's not easy for any of us. Anyway, let's do some jiu-jitsu. Have you brought your cup?
Yeah, will a Starbucks one do?
No, it's got to be a sports cup, you dick.
Oh, like a Gatorade bottle.
Forget it. Let me just show you a move, all right? This is called an armbar.
Ow, that really hurts.
All right, now just roll towards it to get out.
Like this. My shoulder!
Oh, shit. All right, we can fix that. Let me get some ice and some vodka.
I can see inside my bone. Ooh, my bone marrow looks good. What are we going to do, Neil? The fight's tonight.
Well, it's an open weight class, so I guess I'll have to do it.
Well, you should get training then.
Yeah, I probably should. I think I'm going to go have a fag first.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Series of Hobo Fighting. It is now time for our main event. In the blue corner, weighing in at 300 pounds.
Oi, do you mind?
With a perfect 0-0 record, fighting out of a skip in East London, it's Neil, the Naughty Boy Neil! Fucking love it!
Oh, go fuck yourselves, wankers.
And in the red corner, weighing in at 250 pounds of pure muscle, with a perfect 20-0 record, fighting out of Manchester, England, it's Sugar, Dave Leonard!
Oh shit, he's huge.
It's all right, Neil. I'm here in your corner. Just remember what you have to do.
What's that?
Hit him!
Shit. Take this! Oh, what? Did I get him?
No, but I'm pretty sure you just killed the ref.
Oh dear, unlucky Neil. Maybe stick to robbing or conning or pimping, something safer. Next up tonight is a piece from the story of my childhood.
Wow, cool bedroom, Richard.
Thanks. It's also our coal shed.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely having a coal fight later.
No, we're not allowed to play with the coal, especially as most of it is being used as my bed. We could play football, though, till it gets dark.
I'm okay. It's not really the same when you use an actual foot.
What? No, it's way better. Much more challenging.
Can we just watch some telly?
Fine, but we only get German satellite.
So it's all in German?
Yeah, but there's way more nudity.
Oh, go on then.
Or we could drink some booze at Dad's secret cupboard.
Oh, nice. I love whiskey.
Well, he's only got Tia Maria and Creme de Menthe.
Oh, Jesus, Richard, is all your stuff crap?
What? No, this place... Oh, yeah, it's pretty shit.
We should have gone to my house. Dad's on day release and he brought some fireworks home.
Shit, all right, let's go then.
All right, but we got to meet Dad in the woods. He's not technically allowed within 500 meters of the house.
Oh, he sounds so cool. That was the last time I ever saw Harry, because he moved to Liverpool with his mum. Next up tonight is an advert.
Hey, you! Yeah, you! Do you hate the sight of your own flabby face? Are you waddling because your diet is appalling and shit? Taking in too many carbs and shit? Well, look no further. Introducing the new, carb-free, low-sugar, fucking awesome snack from Kraft Dinners, Protein and Shit Balls. Made from organic oats, chocolate, fennel, molasses, mice asses, rat's yogurt, broccoli, barnacles, brambles and shit, these balls are perfect for any occasion. Have two for breakfast, take some to work, or pop them in your rectum at the gym for maximum effectiveness and slow release. People who go to the gym more than once a day love them. People who hate themselves can't get enough of them. Stay-at-home moms and dads are just jumping on the trend because it was on Oprah. But essentially, everyone's eating protein and shit balls. Get yours today before they get banned by the FDA and shit. Warning, protein and balls do actually contain carbs and sugar. Do not take more than one daily. Not recommended for anyone. Side effects may include talking like a gym rat, random grunting, air humping, heartburn, colon burn, cardiac arrest, regular arrest, chest hair loss, irritable glute syndrome, and loss of social awareness.
Definitely not my cup of tea. I prefer a cup of tea. Next up tonight, Dr. Frankenstein has a new creation.
Yes!
Oh, fuck.
The experiment is a success!
Oh, God!
Arise, my uber creation!
Oh, Christ. Oh.
Perhaps I added too much holy water.
You fucking muppet! What have you done? My head, it feels like it's been rooted.
I've given you a voice and an obsession to combat evil.
What are you talking about?
I was thinking you might call me daddy.
You look more like a dickhead to me. Ugh, what have you done?
I fed you a poultice of holy water, ginger, and photos of smiling children.
Oh, Strove.
Then treated you with electricity and radioactive isotope uranium-232.
Oh.
All the while listening to a recording of Mel Gibson eating an apple.
Nice.
To create the world's first true mass superhero.
What the fuck is in my eye?
That's probably the holy water.
Oh, God, it stings like a hornet's nest in the urethra. Don't you know what they put in that stuff?
Actually, I don't. What?
How the fuck do I know? I'm a fucking koala.
By the way, you don't really have holy water in your eyes. Those are actually tears of holy water.
So I cry holy water?
Yeah.
That's my superpower. I cry holy water.
Hey, do you know how hard that was to make happen? And also, you speak English.
Fuck that, I speak Australian, asshole.
Only by default. Let me fix that voice modulator. I can't stand your cadence. So, how do you feel about fighting crime?
How do you feel about fucking off? Why did you even choose me?
Well, I didn't want something rash and impulsive.
Then get a sloth, you twat.
You were also the easiest to steal from the zoo.
So, you didn't even fancy me for my stunning looks?
I can't say I noticed.
Do you at least have some eucalyptus I can eat?
Oh, yes, of course.
All right, fine. Let's go smash some evil cunts. Well, that was a thing. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more. White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
All right.
right, there you go. That was the White Noise comedy show. I hope you enjoyed that.
Pretty trash.
I think it was kind of obvious which one Connor wrote by the fact that even Blackmore didn't have anything to say afterwards. He just stunned at the end there by your
It was a good one to end on.
I still don't get the holy water thing. Why holy water? What was the...
Because holy water is a symbol of purity, supposedly.
Okay.
Ginger cleanses. Photos of smiling children are ethically and morally... invoked to protect and to secure, to prevent from harm, and holy water is of a sort of spiritual sort of purity.
Okay. Fair enough.
Look, every word in that sketch was put there for a reason.
Okay.
It's because I needed to write words and they came to my head.
Yeah, I thought so.
Hey, it's a good sketch though. I feel potential for a series.
Okay, if you would like to hear more of the mad scientist / koala team.
The koala who cries holy water.
If you'd like to hear more of that, please email us at whitenoiseubc@gmail.com.
And please retweet Simon's tweets.
If you think that's a terrible idea, please email us at whitenoiseubc@gmail.com and tell us, just so I can show him to Connor.
You're definitely going to get an email in the next couple of days saying that was a
from you.
Solid skinny.
From
no!
you. Or your girlfriend.
What would make you think that?
All right, so our first choice of song tonight before... We will be back, of course, with the White Noise after show after a couple of tracks. Give you a chance to go to the bathroom. But having said that, take the radio with you or whatever you're listening on because this next track is pretty bloody kick-ass. We're going to play a cover to begin with. This is Big John Bates with The Passenger, who I think you can guess who originally wrote that one. If you can't, go look it up.
I am the passenger.
Show your love for Discorder Magazine at our fundraiser at the ANSA Club on Saturday, April 23rd.
about one epic night planned, with performances by Frog Eyes, Weird Candles, The Backhomes, Malcolm Jack, and Experience This, with special guest DJs and MCs to keep you dancing. There will also be a silent auction and the sale of exclusive back issues of Discorder magazine from the 1980s to now, with all proceeds supporting the publication and printing costs of your free independent Discorder magazine. Tickets are $10 for CITR members, $15 in advance on brownpapertickets.com, or $18 at the door. Head over to discorder.ca for all the information.
Alright, there you go. That was Teen Days with Infinity off Morning World. A bit more mellow than The Passenger, as we like to do. We like to mix it up a little. But you are listening to the White Noise After Show with Simon Welton hosting and special friend, guest, host, whatever.
Wow. Oh, wow. That went from friend to guest.
Person
which was
sitting
quite,
next
which
to
I
me.
Thought was a bit derisory, actually. Yeah. All the way to host at the end.
Yeah.
That really raised my status a little bit. Actually, that makes me very happy.
I'm glad. I'm glad that makes you. Oh, sorry, Connor. I don't mean to undersell your contribution.
No, I mean, you know, you by giving me the title. I mean, you've officially just dubbed me a host, co-host.
What have I done?
That's the wonder of my confidence.
I've opened Pandora's box. Oh dear, there's gonna be crazy koalas everywhere now. All right, so our first topic tonight for the White Noise After Show. For those who don't know, this is we dive into some of the topics raised in the show when we feel like it, and we also like to do a bit of current events. So my first topic for tonight is the shift to centre that has been quite apparent in the political campaigning of Donald Trump in the last week.
Donald Trump.
Yes, if you wish to go by a name he had like 200 years ago.
Yeah, did you not download the Chrome extension that changes Donald Trump to Donald Trump everywhere it comes up?
No, but that's hilarious.
Now that's all I see. Even on like you say CNN, Trump. It's great.
So what about if you've just broken wind and you're a posh English woman and you want to say you trumped? Would it say I drumped? Or is it just...
Yeah.
Okay,
probably.
Anyway,
the Queen admitted to drumping last night.
Let's talk about the. So what? Do you
actually, that sounds dirty, doesn't it? Drumping.
Yes. Okay. Let's move on. So you know, is this going to work? Is his sort of, because what we've seen in the last few weeks is he's brought in a bunch of senior campaign advisors who have obviously told him that he isn't just trying to win an election with Republicans, but he's actually trying to win the national election. Therefore, he needs to start reining in the absolutely disgusting things he's been saying in, and try and be more eloquent and try and be more policy-driven in his speeches and trying to win over people. And they've made some very slick videos as well to help him. So, yeah.
Called Trump attacks.
Yeah, so do we think this is this going to make, you know, is he going to win? Could he win with this sort of...
It's weird, isn't it? Because you think it's hard for him. He's obviously been campaigning very rigidly on a very particular ideological sort of platform at this point, which is engaged aspects of racism, xenophobia, suspicion, censorship of certain peoples, and appealing to the Republican sort of masses that align with those kinds of ideologies for whatever reasons, and so now just not to switch that, and again, as you said, not exactly subtly, is interesting. I mean, will he lose some support from the other sections, or will they just see this as a ploy to win over voters? Will people who now see what he's doing think this is a ploy to win me over, or is he actually changing his tune like he's done countless times before this election?
But the interesting thing is, there is always a shift to centre after the primaries on both sides.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, because you're no longer, as we say, campaigning towards the base. You're campaigning towards the entire nation.
How does Bernie Sanders shift towards the centre, do you think?
Well, the thing is, if the people who his campaign would make a difference for came out and voted, they are 90% of America. So it would be better, you know, if people actually, you know, he wouldn't have to change if the people he was helping and trying to help actually voted. That's the stupid thing about it, is that if everybody voted for him who would be, you know, would get,
so what you're
who needs
sort of
healthcare,
suggesting is,
who needs free education, if all those people voted for him, he would win the bloody election.
So what you're saying, as I understand it, is Bernie Sanders is actually the most central of all candidates available, but he's been made a leftist, liberal, radical leftist candidate by people who don't vote for him.
Yeah, basically. I mean, the
so
thing is,
there's nothing to do with his ideology. It's actually to do with his popularity, where he fits on the spectrum.
Well, no, it's to do with a very broken, warped view of what is good for a first world economy and a first world society.
The biggest first world economy and the biggest society. Yeah,
you know, it's it. The, for years, because and this is a recent thing. This is basic. This is Reagan. This is Nixon. This is the influence of all these guys who came in. You know, Reagan was sort of the pioneer of neoconservatism,
yep.
And Nixon used the Southern move to try and basically win the election by taking all the red states as they're now known, because they've, you know, since then have basically been always voting Republican,
yep.
And so. With all that, you know, they just create, you know, and they use these wedge issues like gay marriage,
yeah,
and
social issues particularly. Social issues particularly, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they use all
divisive.
These. Yeah, they use all these things to sort of warp what is the reality of it, because every other first world country in the world has some form of universal healthcare, and they have. You know, free education and hopefully quality education pretty well up to end of high school, and then
yep.
some subsidization. You know, even in Canada, we do get subsidization from the government, which is why like international students pay so much more. It's because they're not subsidized at all. But still, like, you know, there are things like, why do we pay interest on student loans above prime? Like, you know, that's just profiting off people's attempts to become educated, which, you know, is wrong. If you're borrowing money from the government shouldn't charge you for it if it's for to improve the society and it's to the benefit of all society that we become more educated. Then, no, I don't think, you know, you can charge what it costs them to, you know, to handle the loan. That's what why we have prime. I talk about prime.
And you also have to raise it with inflation.
Yeah, exactly. But there shouldn't be, like, you know, it's going to take me 10 years to pay off what I owe already after 3 years, and I'm going to pay like $10,000 in interest doing that. And that's horrendous. Like, that's ridiculous. But, you know, that's the situation we have in Canada. But anyway, we're getting way, way, way off topic. go back to what we were originally talking about. So yeah, like, you know, they all do shift to the center, so it's not a surprising move.
No.
I do think, though, that people, because he's had so much spotlight, will be hard pressed to forget what they've already seen.
That,
you know?
That would be my sort of intuition as well.
Yeah. Like, there's it's a difference when there's a quiet primary season and, you know, the candidates fighting within their party, and they, you know, but they're all basically saying the same thing, and then one of them gets elected, and then they, you know, and that's for a lot of swing voters and undecided who don't follow politics and aren't really that interested in it. They might not even see them until we have national debates and national,
yeah.
You know, I mean, they had the record of like 25 million people tuned into the first Republican debate. And so there has been a lot more talk about it, and we have more social media,
yep.
Than we've ever had, in terms of more users are using it, and people are using it to spread news even more than they did. Like, I think at first Facebook was a very personal social thing, but
yeah,
it's become,
I miss that.
It's become much more entrenched with news.
It's become corporate.
Yeah, it has. It was since the thing was, they made no money off it when there was no adverts on it, and so they started to, you know, create a lot of adverts. But it's not even that. It's you know, it's people posting a lot of news articles and a lot of opinion pieces and going in. And I think it's good. I think it is healthy to talk about these things.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, because you say, I mean, like, social media a genuinely good way to talk about issues when you type back a one sentence response and then someone else is sarcastic to you? I think you're right. It's better to share than to not to share. But I don't think it makes it for genuine conversation like we might have here.
Yeah, but what I will say, though, is that if you know, you can't discredit an opinion if you don't understand it. So when I, you know, I have people on my Facebook who have views I don't agree with, and they'll post things, and I'll read them so that I can then know why they're full of shit. Otherwise, I'm just sitting.
It doesn't always work, though, because you still kind of end up scratching your head going like, what?
But if you read it, and then you can, you know, find errors in the logic and errors in the thought behind it, then you have a valid argument to make against their claims.
Well, you're clearly a moron.
Hopefully you say something more than that. I mean, yeah, eventually you might just have to call him a dickhead and walk away.
Well, walk away online.
Yeah, away from the keyboard.
Log out of Facebook.
Away from the keyboard. But yeah, so no, I don't think I think it is, and I think at least people then, if they see these arguments being made, hopefully they will think about it a little bit, even if they don't read that article. You know, just give a thought for, you know, something outside of your personal sphere and topics, and yeah, have an opinion on them. So then when you do go to vote, You must be better informed than you know, people have to be better informed than they used to be, because they're not just buying one newspaper anymore and getting a very narrow view of, you know, their information. I know there is sort of like people sort of cone towards their own ideas online and things like that, but even still, you can't help it, because like I don't go out looking for things that contradict my opinion, but they are shown all the time, and I can't.
And have you changed opinion based on that?
Well, no, I've read lots of things, and yeah, as you get older, you learn more stuff. There are changes, but those changes get smaller over time. You know, between 18 and 25, you're the most influential, according to social psych, that you are in terms of influence from other
18,
people.
18, 25.
Yeah, that's because you have by then built up, a 25 is when you finally finish developing your brain, mm-hmm. and you have a fully developed prefrontal cortex. So.
Then all your opinions are gospel.
So, by then you probably feel like you've seen enough of life to have a bit better perspective on things. But yeah, so after that, though, they will change less. But there are maybe some monumental shifts you might see. You might have some sort of epiphany at different points in your life. That does happen.
To me, though, I feel like those moments are more introspective than they are reactive to. They're not sort of preempted necessarily by someone else saying, "Oh, hey, have you seen this?" Whatever. I felt those more like you witness something on your own accord without any attempt at influencing you. And then you have an epiphany. You think about that and you go, wow, that thing I've been thinking my whole life, I've just seen it in a totally different perspective just now. And frankly, that's upset me. And then they go back and they think about that. And then I mean, perhaps I'm a cynic. I mean, I am a cynic.
On the same hand, anecdotal evidence can be very damaging as well as very powerful, in that, you know, it can be a good way to learn, but it can be a horrible way to learn, because it could give you a very warped perspective on things. If you see one anecdotal incident of something and then that changes your, you know, perspective on...
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because obviously, I mean, we're making hypotheticals here and putting hypotheticals on the hypothetical. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I guess I'm just cynical. I feel like by sharing things on Facebook, a lot of people, like, again, I'll read stuff that I see and I'm like, oh, okay, interesting. I mean, I don't disagree with it, but all right, fair. I read a lot of that sort of stuff, unfortunately. But I don't know. I feel like a lot of people, they might have perhaps a similar reaction. They might really go, oh, interesting, and then kind of go back to their Fox News or whatever. Or...
Yeah, but that I just think at least they're at least people are looking.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and I think
can't fault the effort. Can't fault the fact that it's there for you if you want it. Yeah.
Yeah. So with all that said, I do think that he may struggle more than he thinks now come November. I mean, it's not that far away. And people's memories aren't that bad. I know it's 4:20 today, but most of the year, people are pretty on point with remembering what's going on. So, yeah, I think he might have his work cut out for him. I hope he's got his work cut out for him. And I think also if it is Hillary, I think he will struggle, because she has so much more credentials. And I know it's like the outsider versus insider thing.
This is the interesting thing, because that's been Bernie Sanders's, not his whole platform, but that's been one of the major things that people, at least his supporters, point to, is that, hey, he's different, he's an outsider, he's going to revolutionize the way we do things. So that process, I mean, to take that process and that thought, then those people should theoretically vote for Trump, because he's the next best outsider.
Yeah, but no, because it's not just about being an outsider. It's about what he actually wants to do with being outside.
But you see so many of those arguments, though, but Hillary Clinton is Wall Street, she's corporate, she's establishment.
But
so,
she's still a Democrat, so, if anything, there'll be a status quo, which is better than a regression that would occur with a Republican office, even if it's Trump. Like, are you kidding me? He is not going to do anything for anybody except himself. I mean, this is going to be a billionaire's platform, and it's not going to be good. I mean, I really fucking worry if he does get in. I mean, you know, I don't think he's going to blow up the world or anything, but
also goes back to the thing of, like, how much power does a president actually have?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, if he was elected,
but if he's got a Republican, he'll have a Republican House.
Who probably don't like
Senate.
Him that much.
Yeah, but if he wants to pass some pro-business, big business, corporate legislation, that'll go through like a shot. I mean, trust me.
Well, yeah, I mean, although saying that, there will be more elections in the coming years that will perhaps revisit and reshift the dynamics of the House and of the Senate. I mean, obviously difficult to say. Yeah. It was a surprise that the Republicans took over. Was it the House?
Yeah, no, Senate, well, yeah. 2012, Democrats had a complete meltdown.
Yeah.
Because in 2010, they lost the Senate. And that was why basically since, because Obama had both houses in 2008, and that was his chance. And yeah, going into the 2010, they lost one house and then lost the other one in 2012.
Yeah. And he's been gridlocked ever since, though. But he still managed to, you think, what could he have done had he had the support of both houses? So, yeah, it's interesting to think. Well,
but having said that, he had it for 2 years, so he didn't do much in those 2 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, at the same time, I mean, like at the very beginning, you had to get used to the job. There's no job like the presidency of the United States of America. That is, it's unparalleled.
Yeah, but you're not sat there on your desk, you know, on your own, looking for the computer to work out. You literally have a massive team of support who either
presidents and take
or know
all
exactly
that in
what
and make
doing.
Decisions
yeah,
based on all that.
You don't have to
that.
Make all decisions. You have all these advisors and you have all these people to help you do it. It's a huge team effort thing. So he's not on his own. As I say, it's not him just sitting there going like, oh shit, what do I do now?
At some level, there is that level of like, I have to get to grips with. Yeah, there's 18 people who are all experts telling me stuff, and they're getting stuff from there, like 20 people each. There's so much information to process, and even you have some guy going, Mr. President, I know what I'm talking about. Let me take care of this. I'm going to write this bill. I'm going to help sell this idea. You're still not responsible, so you still need to be totally on board with it. So, I mean, I'm just saying, it shouldn't take a long time, but I imagine when you step into their office and you get hit by that wave of, you're the most important person in the world, and we're here to guide you, and you have to learn very quickly. That's still going to take a bit of time.
Yeah, but 2 years, man.
it's difficult to put ourselves in his shoes exactly, but yeah.
Yeah, it is. But, all right, anyway.
Let's play some music.
Yeah, let's go for a track. I'll come back, have a little bit more chat, and then we're gonna get out of here fairly early tonight. So I think the next one tonight, yeah, is going to be No Aloha, who we played before, but this is another track we haven't played by him. This is Prisoner.
I'm not afraid to die.
Oh, yeah. That was a good track. I like that. Love a bit of surfer rock.
Yeah, good stuff.
Can't go wrong. All right, so our next topic for tonight, sir, is, of course, today is 420. And in Vancouver here, that means the 420 rally, which usually takes place at...
Robson Square?
Yeah, the Vancouver Art Gallery, the VAG. This year, officially moved to Sunset Beach, but there were some other protests or other people at the art gallery still.
They were just lost.
Well, they were just vending there because we still make money. Because, I mean, last year there was like 50,000 people downtown, which is why they decided to move it to another spot. But the question is with legalization guaranteed by the Liberal government in their platform last year, and the announcement actually came out today that the legislation is going through. So maybe this question is actually even arguably easier to answer now than it was 24 hours ago. But the question is are these protests, even, you know, because in my opinion, after the legitimization of the dispensaries and, you know, giving out licenses for them, once that went through, in my eyes, that was kind of done in Vancouver. Like, you know,
yep,
we've won the battle. And to put it simply, you don't need to own the streets when you already own the shops.
Yeah.
You know, that's, to me, feels like the situation we have here. So what is this protest? This protest now, to me, if you go down there, and I went down there last year and a few, you know, basically every year since I moved to Vancouver, and it's more and more not, you know, it's not really the people that I think you want as the face of the cause, because it's a lot of underage smoking and, you know, a lot of people who are just sort of partiers going down there. You know, it's not the more, I mean, it seems harsh to say credible people that smoke pot, but it's, you know, it's not, you know, it, like, in arguably, if you want to do this as a constructive protest, you'd be better off, as someone, actually a friend of mine suggested yesterday when we were talking about it, doing it as a lecture series. At like UBC or somewhere, and you can do it outdoors if you want to have lots of people there and have people come and talk and explain and really, you know, try and create sort of a dialogue and really sort of get into the issues and you know, and maybe even work out how we can move forward if we need to. I mean, now it feels even, you know, after today's events, they guaranteed next year that they're going to put through legislation and there is going to be progress on it. So, yeah, I would say the battle is won. I mean, my only other suggestion would be let's move the protests to cities where there are still a lot of arrests going on in Toronto and Ottawa, Montreal, like places that are less liberal about it, Alberta even, like maybe, yeah, it's still legitimate to protest in those cities, and I'm sure there are some smaller 420 rallies, but nothing like, I don't think there's 50,000 people like we have here. But yeah, it just feels here like we're kind of taking the piss now. Like, I feel like, you know, the protest, you know, you're protesting over a non-issue in a lot of regards. I know people are still being arrested in other parts of the country, and I know, you know, until today, the Liberals hadn't guaranteed anything. But it is, yeah, it seems to be done. I don't know, Connor, any thoughts?
Well, it's one of those weird situations where you could probably, in some manners, compare it to people who fight, and this is just, you know, just choosing any old sort of cause here. But so people who are active feminists here in Vancouver or whatever, in the Western world, who are very adamant about their cause and are fighting for equal rights in the workplace and fighting for equal rights between men and women in the West. And then you say, but hey, look, like, there's places in Africa and Asia, places that's less developed, in which the inequality is far greater and far worse for women. And so you think, well, why? Yeah, are these feminists taking the piss? Well, it's like, well, there are issues that are more relevant, or perhaps bigger issues in total going elsewhere. But in the end, you can only kind of work with your local community. So there's no harm in maintaining the fight within your community to fight for equality in that regard. I mean, essentially, it's a very comparable sort of situation. But, I mean, yeah, here in Vancouver, I mean, I don't take part, but from what you've described, it sounds really kind of populist and just like a good time. Not really like anything political, not motivated
by and there's a lot of profit going on without people paying any permits or any of the other business licensing that you would do with any other legitimate business, which, of course, in the past is because it wasn't a legitimate thing. Yep. But, yeah, it becomes a bit of a piss take when it costs a lot of money for the police to go down there and to sit around all day and all the things that they have to do to make sure everybody's safe, which they should do. But when you have any other festival, you do that. The organizers pay for all that. Yeah. And so, to be honest, it shouldn't be any different. But they don't want to. Apparently the city parks did not want them to go to Sunset Beach.
I can imagine.
But they literally didn't have a choice.
Yeah, because it's a protest. Yeah, it's 2,000 people.
Yeah, so they sort of had to just take it on the chin. Like, they even closed the water center down there and, like, you know, basically just, locked everything up for the day. But yeah, it's interesting you mention the sort of feminism. I mean, international feminism is a really tough one because, again, it goes, as we've talked about in the past, against the ideas of sovereignty, yep, which we have to stick by in the world because otherwise you end up with chaos, and as we've seen time and time
again. Team America.
Yeah.
World police.
So that's a really difficult thing. And I do think that there are, yeah, of course, there's definitely things that need to be done still in terms of equality here. I mean, equal pay is a really obvious one.
Yep.
It's interesting because there are some arguments against that, which, as I'm not an economics major, I don't know if it's completely true, but like people suggest.
No doubt people have biases, but yeah, how much credence is there to perhaps such argument? Well,
because we've heard this number 70% a lot, and people have argued that, but it doesn't take into account like time off for like having children and stuff like that. Yep. Which, when you factor that in, then they don't actually earn much less. And there's all, you know, there's comments all the time about things like that. And I'm not an economics major, so I don't know if that's true.
I do IR, but economics is not my stream. I'm more like history. Yeah.
But if there's an apparent injustice out there, and it has been done now, if it's found that two people doing the exact same job are earning disproportionately less money with the same experience, then clearly that employer should be fined and that person should be compensated for what they should have earned. But the problem with that is how do you know that, because pay is confidential.
Yeah, and reasons for giving someone a certain salary are subjective, kind of.
Very.
Like, the salary I'm going to get at my job that I'm starting in the summer, I'm working with the same company I did last summer. I got a bit of a raise, a small one. But besides making sense within their economic and their sort of the way they're trying to run their business, I don't know why they chose the number they did. I don't know what, you know, if my boss is making how much extra, whether the person who's, I mean, I do be doing a unique role, so it's not as if there's someone else on the same level as me, but someone else who perhaps is doing a similar role that is just not quite so advanced. I don't know what they're getting paid. I don't know. And yeah, it's, I mean, you could pay someone better, another person, because they're genuinely doing their job better, because you have experience with them before.
Better rapport with the other people who work there. Like, there could be all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, and that could go either way. Like, yeah, someone doing a very similar level job who's a woman could get paid, a dollar more. Again, maybe that isn't a big difference, but when you're a student or when you're working, it does make a difference. So, and in the end, it also shouldn't be a competition as such. Obviously, there's a lot to be said for that. That if a certain sex or gender is getting overpaid consistently, or paid over the female rate consistently, then you wonder why that is the case. But in the end, in many ways, it also shouldn't be a competition. You should be earning what you, as a person, deserve or can contribute to the business strategy, I guess, of your employer. So, yeah, there's a lot of issues around that, isn't there? There's a lot of ways you can look at it, and everyone's trying to spin their own biases and their own perspective on things.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think there's been tons of progress, because it is such a complex thing to try and legislate against, to correct. But yeah, so there are still issues out there for that cause.
Yeah, no, undoubtedly.
But anyway, we're gonna do one fun thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
Before we go tonight, because we are gonna head out pretty quick. So, three movies, to watch for eternity, what's your three movies?
Can I nominate the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy?
You're a nerd, yeah.
No, I'll ask you all. I would choose, well, my favourite film, The Grand Budapest Hotel by Wes Anderson. That's up there, definitely. I will select one of the Lord of the Rings films. I'm going to go, Two Towers, Return of the King. Difficult to say. I'm going to go with Return of the King, you know. I think I'm going to go with Return of the King.
Regular or extended edition?
Of course, extended. and then... I feel like I feel like I should nominate something a bit more older, perhaps a bit more classic. But at the same time, I also kind of feeling that The Dark Knight is a great
really?
Film. Yeah, no, I think it's a great film. I mean, yeah, I mean, call me populist, call me mainstream, whatever. What are your three?
My three would be American Pie, which is just a brilliant film. If you haven't seen it, Kevin Spacey. Who else is in that film? Do you remember who else is in it?
I haven't seen it.
I'm never good with actors' names, but it's just fantastic. It's got everything. It's got drama. It's got comedy. It's beautifully written. It's beautifully, you know, the cinematography is gorgeous and the soundtrack's fantastic. Like, it's just the perfect film for me. And it's all about American sort of materialism or Western materialism and its flaws. And so it's a really good theme to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's definitely one for me. And then I think, see, the second one's tough because I know what the third one is, but the second one, I kind of have like, I actually have two that I really want it to
be. Yeah. Well, what are they both?
Either Old Boy, which is a Korean film, not the American train wreck that they did. How dare they try and remake one of the greatest films ever made? It's just an insult to it. Yes, you have to watch it with subtitles. Big bloody deal. Go watch it and appreciate it in its
original form.
I don't
get people who complain about subtitles.
Yeah.
Even if it's in English, sometimes I have subtitles. I can read and also pay attention to the
plot. Just read quick, look up.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You take in the scene. I don't know. I've never had an issue with that.
No. But anyway, so like Old Boy is amazing. If you don't know what it's about, it's literally about the setup is a guy is kidnapped and kept in a room for 15 years and then he's let go without any explanation. So he wants to know who the hell kidnapped him and kept him locked up for 15 years for no reason as far
and
as he can tell.
At first he struggles with like, when is it? He doesn't know. Someone's put a new...
Let's not give any more away.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that's the setup of it. So if that doesn't intrigue you, then you're not an easily intrigued person.
Yeah, no, it piques my curiosity.
And then the other one that was struggling between that is Children of Men, which is actually an adaptation of a book. And it's
The Jungle Book.
No, not The Jungle Book. And it's about a world, a sort of dystopian world where the fertility has disappeared. And it's about basically one guy who finds the only child, the only pregnant woman left, and is like trying to take her to a like new sort of order, new world, like rebuild of intelligent and, you know, sort of trying to build a new civilization.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about. It's got... what's his name? Clive Owen is in it. Michael Caine's in it. So it's killer. It's a good one. And then my third film, which I'm, you know, definitely going to take, has to be Super, which is Rainn Wilson, Ellen Page, and it's Rainn Wilson plays a guy whose girlfriend is runs off with a drug dealer, and so he wants to get her back, and he's, you know, likes superheroes, and he kind of has. He's like, I want to be a superhero. But of course, he has no superpowers. He's just a guy. So he just gets a boiler wrench and just starts laying into people with a boiler wrench. And it's chaos. It's brilliant. It's kind of like God Bless America. If everyone's ever seen that, it's got a similar feel. But yeah, Super. Rainn Wilson, 2011 film. If you haven't seen it, please check it out. It's great. Great film. But yeah, I think that's my three.
Cool. So, I'm surprised I didn't see Trainspotting in there. I don't know why. I thought, for some reason, I just suspected you'd be the kind of person who would put Trainspotting up there.
Yeah, I mean, I do like that film.
It's a good film.
I do.
Solid film.
And I liked Filth, which was the other film in the from the same writer of the books. And I think it might be the same director as well of the films. But it's Filth's another good one with James McAvoy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not my favorite. Like, it's probably in the top 20. I mean, there's a lot more. We could go on forever.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, definitely one of my bigger interests. Anyway, we've got one last track to play for you tonight as we leave. We will be back next week at 11. We'll be done with exams, so hopefully the quality of the comedy will go up. We'll see. We'll see if we can write some good sketches for you. But we're going to leave you with one more really good track tonight. This is a band we've played before, but we haven't played this song off their album. This is actually off the later part of their album. This is The Dearly Bereft, and this is So It Goes. And we'll be back, as we say, next week. Thank you so much
for
listening.
Have a good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
If you keep up with us throughout the week. It's Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, retweet Simon.
White Noise UBC.
He wants your retweets. Come on, give him some love.
Check out the best of at whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com.
Email him.
Podbean.com.
Just email him vulgar shit.
Yeah, email me anything. I don't care.
He's just bored.
We just want people to email him. whitenoiseubc@gmail.com.
Add him on Facebook.
Ideas, jokes, insults, trolls. I don't care. Email it in. We'll put it on the website. We'll faff around with it. We might even make a sketch if you come up with a good idea. So send us your best rubbish. whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. Anyway, have a good night. See you soon.